Hey everybody, hope all is well. Again, I feel like I say this every week, but I apologize for the lack of live cheer. Once again, time did kind of get away from me this week, but I do want to go over definitely a single word on the parsha that is, in my opinion, you can't learn Yisro without learning this Gemara. Kabbalah Satorah, you have to learn this Gemara, so let's go through that, and then we'll call it a week. I wish you a good Shabbos, and we'll be back next week, Mitzvah Shem. So just to recap the parsha quickly, honestly, not so much going on in terms of, happenings. Yisro shows up. He gives advice to Moshe about this whole thing with the judges. Moshe is sitting and judging everybody in all of Am Yisrael. Right? Everybody's waiting in line. Right? I think customer service is bad now. Just imagine what it was back then. And Yisro is like, no, we should set up this whole system of judges. Right? And Moshe agrees with that. And basically, we move from there to Kabbalah Satorah, preparing for Kabbalah Satorah. This is Maimon Har Sinai, Aseres HaDibros, and that's pretty much more or less the end of the parsha. Again, just quickly, let's just talk about the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Peches, because the Gemara there says, again, pretty well known, I hate saying it, it's famous in case you haven't heard of it, but I feel like people have heard this before. Anyway, but it has to be dealt with, because Gemara says, the Gemara Darshan's on the Pasuk Vayisiyatzvu B'Sachtis Ahar, that Bnei Yisrael, ostensibly, Pasuk means that Bnei Yisrael encamped around at the bottom, at the foot of the mountain. But if you take the words literally, right, it kind of means, Vayisiyatzvu, they stood themselves, okay, B'Sachtis, under Ahar, under the mountain. And whether you make the drasha of the fact that it says B'Tachtis instead of B'Tachas, or Eitzel, right? It says Tachtis seems to imply underneath as opposed to next to. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Dimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa Malami Shekafa Kosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Es Ahar Gigigis. It teaches me that a Kosh Baruch Hu overturned the mountain over the above them like a barrel. V'Amar Lahem, he said to them, Imatem Mekablim HaTorah Mutav. If you, Hashem said, if you accept the Torah, great. V'im Lav, and if not, Sham Teikvu Raschem, there will be your burial ground. Right, implying that basically Hashem said, well, here's the deal. I'm either going to accept the Torah, or I'm going to drop this on your head. Okay, fine, with all the shaylas that come up with it, right? The shayla we have to deal with is probably the question you're asking yourself right now, is the shayla that Tosos asked. Tosos says, I don't understand. What do you mean? Did Hashem force them into accepting the Torah? Right, that kind of takes the luster off of it, right? We all hear Nasa V'Nishma, right? Pasuk says Nasa V'Nishma. That's what Tosfos says. Right? What about Nasa V'Nishma? Bnei Yisrael willingly, right, accepted the Torah. We will hear and we will do. Right? We will do and we will hear. What did I say? Right, Nasa, we will do. V'Nishma, we will hear. Right? Again, it's not they dove into it. They said they accepted it without before they learned what was in it. Now you're telling me that Hashem picked up the mountain, overturned it like a barrel. What's going on over here? Like, and threatened to drop it on their heads. Said, I'm going to bury you here if you don't accept the Torah. So what's going on over here? So there are many, 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 many approaches. Let's just bring a couple of them, and some of them, and more importantly, the ones that are relevant for us, right? But to have a bit of a musr tint. If you want a couple of technical answers, so Tosos himself answers that just Akash Baruch Hu didn't want them to back out of it. Right, that Nasa V'Nishma, yeah, they accepted the Torah, Nasa V'Nishma, that's obviously true, but Hashem wanted to make sure that it wouldn't back out. Okay, the Marsha says that Nasa V'Nishma wasn't a full Kabbalah. Okay, it was just kind of like, yeah, we're in. And we'll talk about that in a second. I elaborate on that kind of emotion in a second. And then Hashem wanted to make sure and kind of like seal the deal. And another approach to their Maharal, the Maharal writes that Hashem didn't want Bnei Yisrael to think that keeping the Torah was dependent on their Bechira. Right, it was dependent on, yeah, Bnei Yisrael and the Midbar, they opted in, but we shouldn't think that we, later on, can opt out. Right, just like Bnei Yisrael said, Nashem and Nishma, they chose to follow the Torah, Hashem didn't want them to think, okay, now everybody has that choice, right? Nope, once you accepted it, right, so that's it, right? There's no option to back out, right? We have, it's the bris between us and Kosh Baruch Hu, and it's not based on our own Bechira, it's not based on our own free will. But let's get some more inspirational stuff in here. The Afla writes something beautiful. He says that Nasa V'Nishma, and versus Kafalem Har Kegigis, that when Bnei Yisrael said, we will do and we will hear, as opposed to being forced into it, he said that Nasa V'Nishma, when Bnei Yisrael volunteered, that's like Ahavas Ish L'Rieihu. That was like the love between friends. But Kafia, but Kafalem Har Kegigis, right, that meaning, and that demonstrated a love between Bnei Yisrael and Akash Baruch Hu on the level of, let's say, friendship. to explain it in the vernacular. But Kavalim Hargis, when Hashem forced it, when Hashem held the mountain over their head, that was like Avas Av Lebno. That was like this, the love between a father and a son, between a mother and a daughter. And what he explains is that sometimes a father has to do something that his child doesn't like. Sometimes a parent has to do something that they know the kid will not be happy with, but it's for the kid's own good, right? To do, and the kid is not interested. It's against his will. He's forcing him to do this. Right, my kid today needed a, you know, my 8-year-old needed a filling for at the dentist. He didn't want it. He was upset when he got it. He was crying and screaming the whole time. But as a parent, we know that's the best thing for him, because otherwise his tooth, you know, well, the cavity will get bigger and the tooth will just, you know, have issues, etc. So we needed to force him. So that's the imagery that the Gemara is going for. That Akash Baruch, who loves us so much, not only are we friends, that we opt in and we voluntarily do things for each other, like Nasa Vinishma, but sometimes Hashem loves us so much, our bond is so strong, that Hashem knows what's best for us, and he's sometimes going to have to force us to do things, even though, right, it won't be right with something that we're so comfortable with. So that was the imagery that Akash Baruch Hu, that the Gemara wants to give, that our relationship with Hashem is such that it's like a parent to a child. And sometimes, right, again, for our own lives, we have to realize that sometimes, you know, it may not be comfortable what's going on, but Gamzul Tova and Akash Baruch Hu is doing it for our own good. Similarly, along the same lines, right, not exactly the same, but I think it's you pronounce the name of the sefer is Mitas Yado. It's a sefer from Rabbi Matzio Madnitsky. I saw it quoted in the Masechta Gemara on Shabbos. So he says, based on the Rambam, in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Beis, Halacha Chaf. The context of that Rambam is fascinating. The Rambam says that you know, if a person doesn't want to give his wife a get, Rachman Litzlan, right, we can beat him, right, we can force him, we can do things to him, until he says rotza ani, until he says that he wants to. Meaning, again, he's and that is considered to be an acceptable form of rotza, an acceptable form of willingness. Right, a person has to, right, a husband has to give a get. Rachman Litzlan, a person has to give a get of his own free will. So if you beat him and kind of convince him to, the Rambam says that's good enough. Why? I'm not interested in that right now. But Rambam says why is because people actually want to do the mitzvah. People deep down want to do mitzvos. It's just the Yetzer Hara, and we'll elaborate on this in a second, it's just the Yetzer Hara making them not do it. So Akash Baruch also wanted to show that even though we were forced through Kfiyah, we were forced with Hashem holding the mountain over our heads, so really we wanted to accept the Torah willingly. How do you know they wanted to accept the Torah willingly? Because they said Nasa V'Nishma. So you combine the two. They're not contradictory at all. Right? They combine the two. Hashem, Bnei Yisrael wanted Nasa V'Nishma. Hashem held the mountain over their head, right, to show that even when the Yetzer Hara is overcoming you and maybe you're not interested in so much in keeping the Torah, still, that's what you really want. That is what you really want down deep down. And it's only the Yetzer Hara who's causing you not to keep the Torah, right, at that moment. Again, something for us to keep in mind, that, you know, when we're having a difficult time spiritually, really it's not who we are. We deep down are a neshama, and we do want to keep the Torah. It's just the Yetzer Hara, right, and other things that are getting in our way. The Sfas Emes, and the Baal Shem Tov also, which we'll explain, we'll elaborate in a little bit different language. The Sfas Emes says a beautiful pshat, mamash, a beautiful pshat that is also super relevant for us. He said that Nasa V'Nishma was said with great inspiration. Right? Bnei Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim, all the makos, the miracles. 49 days later, there are other miracles that's been happening. There's the war with Amalek. There's, right, obviously Kriyas Yamsuf. There's Naman. There's the Be'er Miriam. There's, you know, they were in a place called Mara, and the waters were bitter. Moshe threw a tree in. The waters became sweet. Right? All these amazing miracles, Ananei HaKavod, etc., happening to them, right, on the way to Har Sinai. They see Hashem basically on the mountain with fire and brimstone and lightning and smoke and all this type of stuff. Nasa V'Nishma, we will do and we will hear. Says the Sfas Emes, I mean, it's beautiful and all, but obviously they're going to say that. They've just gone through the most incredible, you know, couple of months in the history of humanity. Right? With revelation and seeing God, obviously they're going to opt in. Right? Obviously, it's terribly inspired. It's like, can you imagine, like, whenever you take a Kabbalah punch amongst yourself, right, after a tremendous speech, and forget a tremendous speech, let's say a tremendous couple of months, right, after seminary and after yeshiva, right, you're ready to go, you're ready to tackle the world, you're ready to be, you know, the next Gadol Hador. But later, later, things are not as inspiring, right, and maybe the luster of that wears off. So Kosh Baruch Hu, when he overturned the mountain, right, over Bnei Yisrael, he wanted to say, hey, listen, you're also chayiv in the Torah when you're not inspired, right? You also have to keep the Torah when it's not, you know, so exciting and inspirational. Right? Listen, Torah is a way of life. It's not only when, you know, you've had all these miracles happen to you and you're you know, totally focused. So that was, you know, kind of the rest of the message of Kafalim HaKigigas, that yes, B'nai Yisrael said not some Nishma. Kosh Baruch was like, okay, great, fantastic. I'm just letting you know, it's not always as fluffy. It's not always, life is not always rainbows and cupcakes or whatever. Ramelech quotes the Baal Shem Tov and Kesar Shem Tov. And he says along, writes this along the same lines. He says it's not such a great thing, right, to say not seven Ishmael when you're on a high, climbing 49 levels of Tumah, right, with Ashras, Tashchina, etc. And since Akash Baruch Hu knew that things wouldn't always be this good, right, that there would be a darkness eventually, and certainly there's been many periods of darkness in Jewish history, so he showed Bnei Yisrael that, he hinted to that by overturning the mountain, right, and making it, right, again, it was dark, right, so they would accept all Torah and mitzvot in any situation. Right, even when they have to force themselves to do so, which is, as the Baal Shem Tov writes, that's the true Kabbalah Torah, right? To keep the Torah when things aren't so good, right? It's very nice to keep the Torah when everything is great, but to keep the Torah even when things are tough, right? That's the true Kabbalah Torah. That really shows, right, what we think and how much we value the Torah. Similarly, Rav Melech close the Lelav Rebbe, I think Lelav, not sure. Lelav Rebbe, who explains based on the Gemara and Sukkah and Daf Mem Beis. Fascinating Gemara and Sukkah says that inevitably, eventually, Kosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht the Yetzer Hara. Inevitably, Kosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht the Yetzer Hara. To the Tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara will look like a giant mountain, says the Gemara, and to the Rishayim, he'll appear like a tiny thread. Right? And both the Tzaddikim and the Rishayim will be crying. The Tzaddikim will be saying, how do we ever overcome this huge mountain? And the Rishayim will be saying, how could we not overcome this tiny little threat? So that's the Gemara in Daf Nun Beis. It says, the Lelav Rebbe, the Yetzer Hara is compared to a huge mountain. Right? So Tzaddikim are going to see the Yetzer Hara, they're going to see a huge mountain. So what's going on over here? So he says that at Maimon Har Sinai, right, the Bnei Yisrael, the phrase is in Chazal, that Pasko Zuhum Asam, which basically means that they lost the Yetzer Hara to a certain extent. They saw Akash Baruch Hu, right? How could, there's no Yetzer Hara when you see fire and brimstone and God speaks to you literally. So Akash Baruch Hu says Lelav Rebbe, but Hashem doesn't want our service, our avodas Hashem, in that manner. Right? Hashem already has thousands upon thousands of perfect angels up in Shemayim. We don't have a Yetzer Hara. Right? He doesn't need more creations down here on earth to worship Him and be over Him in the same way. So Hashem, Kafalem Har Yigis, in other words, He took the Yetzer Hara, as a Gemara, right, comparison, so good. He took the Yetzer Hara and gave it back to us and put it back in us so that we would have someone to fight and make that avoda that Hashem is looking for, right? Hashem already had people to serve Him without question. Now, He turns to us, humanity, right, to overcome the Yetzer Hara, right, and grow stronger, through and be over to Hashem through difficulty, through fighting the Yetzer Hara and overcoming, right, a force that kind of dragging us down. Again, super important for us to remember that life is supposed to be tough. Right? The Avodas Hashem is supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be amazing. It's supposed to be rewarding. It's supposed to be fulfilling, but it's not always so easy. Right? And the whole point is for us to be Mekadesh and Shemayim when things are tougher, when we're having a hard time with this halacha or that halacha or this influence or that influence or things are going on in your life are a little bit kind of convoluted. So that's our avoda. Our avoda is to fight the Yetzer Hara and be Mekadesh and Shemayim in that manner. And that's why Kosh Baruch Hu Kavaleh Mar Kigigas gave us back our Yetzer Hara so that we could fulfill the Torah, right, under those circumstances. Okay, the last point we'll mention, I heard from Rabbi J.J. Shachter when I was in YU, and I saw it later quoted by in a Sefer Vahish Moshe by Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, and the word is like this. If you notice the Gemara, has a very strange language. It says, Kosh Baruch Hu picked up the mountain, overturned it like a barrel, and hung it over their heads. And he put it over their heads. Says Rabbi Shachter and Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, what's the barrel? What do you need a barrel for? The Gemara could have just been like, Hashem picked the mountain and held it over their heads. That's not what the Gemara says. Gemara says Hashem overturned the mountain like a barrel. What is that? What are you talking about? What is that even? Why is that there? Like, it's such an odd way to phrase it. Furthermore, he says, if you look at the language of the Gemara is a little bit different. It says, "Sham teik v'uraschem," that if you accept the Torah, great. But if not, "Sham teik v'uraschem," there will be your burial ground. We all know the dreidel, the two different dreidels in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, right? In Israel, it says, "Po." And Chutz La'aretz, it says Sham. Right? Why does it say Sham Teikfu Raschem? Right? What's Po? And Nes Gadol Haya Po, a great miracle happened here. Right? Nes Gadol Haya Sham, a great miracle happened there. Why does the Gemara say Sham? That there will be your burial ground. It should have said Po Teikfu Raschem. Here will be your burial ground. Why does Kadosh Baruch Hu say, if you accept the Torah, great, but if not, there will be your burial ground? What do you mean there? Hashem is threatening the mountain to drop it on their heads. It's right here. So he says in a beautiful word, he says, just to illustrate, if you've ever trapped a bee, right? If you ever have a bees in the sukkah, right? You ever put a cup over a bee, right? Trapped a bee in a cup. So does the bee die right away? No, it doesn't die right away. When does it die? It dies eventually because it ran out of oxygen. So says Ramosha Soloveitchik, that's exactly the imagery right here. And of course, Baruch was telling Bnei Yisrael, listen, the Torah is life. It's chayim l'machazikim ba, right? The Torah is what is going to keep you alive. Right? If you want it, great. If you don't, you're going to run out of oxygen eventually. You're not going to die right now. Hashem wasn't threatening to drop the mountain on his head. But he said what will happen is if you don't accept the Torah, you're just going to end up like all the other nations, right? Kind of trapped in, under your own cup. And eventually the oxygen is going to run out. And Shamtek Veroskam, there eventually in the future, at some point, right, you'll go the way of the, you know, Roman, Greeks, Persians, etc., etc. Kadosh Baruch Hu basically just telling them, this is what the Torah is. The Torah is a way of life. The Torah is a way to keep you alive. It's chayim. It's literally mayim chayim. It's the way. It's the key to life. And if you accept it, so then you'll be fine. And if not, right, eventually, right, you'll run into issues. And I thought that the rest of the Gemara makes a lot of sense according to that as well. Because what in the Gemara says, or kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, the Gemara finishes off that the Jews reaccepted the Torah in the times of Achashverosh. Right, the Gemara Darshan's kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, they reaccepted kimu mashikiblu kvar, that they accepted what they had already accepted. They reaffirmed what they already accepted. And the Gemara says that they reaffirmed their dedication and their commitment to the Torah. Well, if you understand what this, if you explain it in that way, that Hashem was telling them, listen, this is the way you're going to keep yourself alive. Well, the first time they were threatened with extinction was Haman, more or less. Right, they went to Persia. Haman threatened to wipe out everybody. Well, who's Bnei Yisrael's response? They didn't mass an army. They davened. They put sackcloth. They fasted. Right? They saw that was what's going to keep them going. Right? There was a miracle, etc., etc. They knew that Mordechai and Esther explained that Kosh Baruch Hu kind of rearranged things. So they saw for the first time that was the MS. That was the truth. So they reaffirmed, right, their belief that this is how the Torah works. They realized, yeah, you're right. In Echanami, Itzchaimi, that's what's going to keep us going. It's not that we're going to, you know, we're going to fight against the Persian army. We're going to daven to Hashem. We're going to wear sackcloth. We're going to fast. And we're going to keep the Torah and do tshuva for, you know, the averus that we did, and that's going to keep us going. So in that way, right, kimu v'kiblu ha'yudim, they reaffirmed what Akash Baruch Hu had told them at Har Sinai. And that, again, that's also something that's very, very important for us to keep in mind, that the Torah is not just a book of laws. It's a way of life. It's chayim hi. It's a way to keep us going. It's the elixir of life, if you will. And it's something to keep in mind when we're learning it, when we're studying it. It's not just to know all the intricacies of random halachos. It's to know what a Kodesh Baruch Hu expects of us and how we can live our life in the best way, right, and keep us going, right, for our generation, but for our children and our children's children, right, lasid lovo. Okay, everybody, have a tremendous, tremendous Shabbos, and we'll be back with the Shabbos next week. Have a good one. Be all the best.